Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
All right, let's get to Take-A-Mania. Then we'll read, some of y'all's texts about the Belichick situation. You're right, man. There's still some people texting like, sports, please. That's a sports topic. Bill Belichick is the greatest coach of our generation in the NFL, and his career is being sullied by his 24-year-old girlfriend who's been banned from the facility in North Carolina. That's not
a sports topic, my friend.
That's not a juicy enough.
It's not our fault that Bill Belichick has gotten himself into this pickle.
Thank you.
Blame Belichick. Text Belichick.
Yeah.
Don't text me. Damn it.
I feel like telling the texter, like you listen to this show. You know this is a perfect Payne and Pendergast topic.
You know, Sean can't resist the sweet temptations, the siren song of Bill Belichick.
You got that right, man.
Yeah, come on, Sean.
It's hot. Yeah, it's hot. Yeah. All right, Take-A-Mania. We do this every Friday at 9 o'clock. And the way we work our worst take of the week segment is that we have a defending champion. And the belt has changed hands quite a bit of late. There have been that many bad takes out there. Seth is the judge and jury on this thing. I am merely, I go find the talent. Seth books the matches, okay? So the champion right now for Take-A-Mania, the worst existing take, is Mel Kiper, who said this on the third day of the draft as Shedeur Sanders continued to slide into oblivion.
The NFL has been clueless for 50 years when it comes to evaluating quarterbacks. Clueless. No idea what they're doing in terms of evaluating quarterback. That's proof. There's proof of that.
How many times?
We know exactly what we're talking about with quarterback. They don't.
All right.
Yeah.
It was that
we know exactly what we're talking about with quarterbacks. They don't.
Yep.
Right. You know, no, Mel Kiper. Like, no, I would accept if you said they don't really know what they're talking about with quarterbacks, because that's true. It's really, really hard to evaluate quarterbacks.
Yeah.
But you don't know either.
No.
So that's. We've got all the receipts.
We do, and we've played them before. Yeah. Two simple words have kept him atop the mountain. We do. We do. Yeah, no, you don't. Stop it, Mel Kiper. All right, so here we go, Seth. Here are the challengers. Draymond Green, following on his podcast with Baron Davis, following the Warriors' 7-game victory over the Houston Rockets, had this to say about Dillon Brooks.
Dillon Brooks ran off the court. So when I say you see what guys is made of, he ran off the court, like, ain't shake nobody up. And you admitted that you was trying to hurt Steph Hand, which, again, fine by me, bro. Like, I get it. We all get it when you hoop. You know what I'm saying? So if you're going to be on that type of time,
he got to be on that time all the time.
You're going to be talking. You're going to be Mr. Big Bad Wolf. Don't lose and then not face the music. Don't be that guy, because, again, you lose a lot of respect for guys in that moment. I had a moment with Dillon Brooks back when he was with Memphis, and I said the dynasty start after you. And the reason I said that is because things like that. Because, bro, then guess what? Then Tari Eason do it. He lead the court.
Okay, and then Tari Eason actually didn't leave the court. He stayed there and shook your hand, Draymond. So you got
that. And that made him all right in Draymond's book.
Yeah, no. So, Seth, how silly does a take become when Draymond Green is the one that is – it's his respect that Dillon Brooks
that
has
is
lost.
Draymond Green that's the one that's talking about sportsmanship at all.
Yep.
And who is, you know, trying to put himself up over. It's a really, really bad take. I've noticed there's something about the quality in which the take is delivered, though. And it's hard for somebody just having a conversation on a podcast to sound as good as somebody who's shouting it into a microphone on television.
Yeah.
Or that it just, it, hmm. It's on the surface of it. I hate that he's saying that, but it was kind of a weekly delivered take because it's Draymond Green mumble mouthing his way through it
on a podcast. Yeah. Aesthetics matter in this. The delivery matters in this. Yeah.
He beats Kuiper.
He beats Kuiper. How about that? All right. Wow, the title has changed hands. Draymond Green.
Because, you know, part of it though, too, Sean, it's Draymond's whole game. It's that he's a great defender, but in terms of being a tough guy, his go-to move is a kick in the groin.
Yeah.
And if anything, he just wants to be sure. You know what this is? Draymond being upset that he's not absolved of his sins at the end of the series.
Right.
Hey, wait a second. This guy still doesn't like me? That's not the way it's supposed to work.
That's exactly
right. I'm supposed to get away with all this stuff.
That's 100% right. The league has enabled him. Yeah, in so many ways.
Sorry you don't get carte blanche for being a D-bag and then all is well afterwards. You know what real men do? They hold a grudge, Draymond.
That's right.
If you want to be hard, if you want to be that guy where in the NBA, let's be honest, Draymond, it's a lot easier when everybody is stretched out and skinny as hell and what have you. Yeah. You know, go try that game in the NFL.
Yeah.
So, worse than Mel Kiper.
Okay, worse than Mel Kiper. We got a new champ. We'll see if he can hold on to it through this entire segment. So the champ is Draymond. Next up, Paul Pierce. Just a bad prediction as much as a bad take. I don't know, but Paul Pierce, prior to game two of the Celtics-Knicks series, had this to say, former Celtic Paul Pierce.
If the Celtics lose game two at home, I promise you, I'm walking here tomorrow.
Why you got to do that?
Wait a minute.
I'm walking here 15 miles. I'm walking here.
I don't know, Pete. This is your friend.
In my robe.
Get your friends.
No shoes on.
Somebody save him.
Bare feet.
No.
If what?
If the Celtics lose tonight.
Oh, my God.
Oh, don't do it, Paul.
I'm walking.
Paul.
Not tonight.
I'm telling you right now.
Take the series.
No, I'm taking the series.
Not tonight.
Ain't no way. In a row, barefoot.
Okay.
He did it.
He did. Well, he shot videos of himself at various points along the way.
He shot videos of himself walking.
I don't know that he live streamed a 15-mile walk. You know, I could see where Theater of the Mind may have looked that he did it. And there was zero proof that he went barefoot. So there is that.
It's 20.2 miles, by the way. It said he claims that it took 8 hours for him to do it.
Yeah. So whether I believe that he did it or not is a totally separate story. But he was way off on his prediction. The Celtics, like they did in game one, coughed up a 20-point lead only to lose to the New York Knicks. Seth, where are you on Paul Pierce's ultimately a really bad prediction with a huge, huge self-punishment here?
No, he doesn't overtake Draymond Green by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah. Draymond kicks out of that one.
The barefoot part was the dumbest part of that. There's no way in hell he did it barefoot. He'd be in the ER right now walking on concrete and asphalt for 20.2 miles.
In May in Los Angeles. I mean, I would say this, the videos, he was sweating his ass off. I mean, he was, you know, I could have taken out a sprint. If I had to guess, I would say he actually did it too. You know?
Yeah. I don't know what kind of neighborhoods he's walking through at that. It's a tricky thing when you're a high profile individual, and it's not like Paul Pierce is able to just blend in.
Yeah.
That the 20.2 miles, I wouldn't worry about the physical exertion as much as it's somewhere along the way somebody might target him.
20 miles. Oof, man.
Oh, I guess he had to walk through Brentwood and Bel Air.
Okay. Yeah. That stuff has happened in Brentwood before.
That's true. Yeah.
All right. Next one up, Urban Meyer. This was on the Triple Option podcast, actually hosted by my high school friend Rob Stone, with Urban Meyer. Here was Urban Meyer laying down what he thinks the punishment should be for people who lie to the NCAA.
If you lie as a college football coach to the NCAA, in my personal opinion, you're finished. You're done. That's not making a text message. That's not, you know, going to lunch someone with you're not supposed to go to lunch with. That's not you send a letter when you're not supposed to. That, you know, all the frivolous division or level threes and all that nonsense. When they got you and they said, did you do this? And they refused to cooperate or they lie. In my very strong opinion, you're finished coaching in Division I college football or basketball, whatever sport.
I'm just rolling my eyes the whole time. I'm sitting there watching, and I'm like, I feel bad for Rob right now, having to kind of entertain this as something that's not a complete pile of hypocrisy.
He, let's see, the most notable one was probably when he deleted texts and acted like he didn't know anything about his assistant coach's domestic violence issues.
He's right.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
They did a two-part documentary on his Florida program because it was so renegade. What are we doing? Like, we're splitting
you're
hairs.
You're done completely.
You have Aaron Hernandez in your program shooting people, and you're sitting here from on high going, but if this coach lies to the NCAA, I think you should be ruined for the rest of your coaching career.
Forever.
Yeah.
I like how just incredibly unself-aware he is of just... how fraudulent he is in a lot of ways, while still being one of the greatest college coaches who ever lived.
Yeah.
I'm not taking that away from him, but he has zero self-awareness about just the actual way he's perceived or the things that he's actually done, I think.
Yeah. Okay, so where does this land on the
No, it's just that's just him being annoying.
Not as bad as Draymond. Draymond, still the champ. All right, this is a written one. I just wanted to read it in this segment because I don't know any other place we could plunk it. We actually had a few people requesting this earlier. Did you guys hear what Rafael Devers said about being asked to play first base for the Red Sox? I know I'm a ball player. I'm assuming this is through translator. I know I'm a ball player, but at the same time, they can't expect me to play every single position out there. In spring training, they talked to me and basically told me to put away my glove, but I wasn't going to play any other position but DH. So right now, I just feel like it's not an appropriate decision by them to ask me to play another position. It was the GM that I spoke with. I'm not sure what he has with me. He played ball, and I would like to think he knows that changing positions like this is not easy. That was Rafael Devers asked why he won't move to first base. For those who don't know, Tristan Casas, the regular first baseman for the Red Sox, is done for the year with some sort of lower extremity injury.
He was a chatty one himself.
Indeed,
I liked him.
Was.
He was sticking up for Rafael Devers, saying that third base was his position.
Yeah,
you can't have a newcomer coming
that
in.
Was, and that was
the
a,
show.
That's a that was a bad take, actually. Tristan Casas. Seth. I don't want to have a written word take in the Take a Mania, be the champion, and read it every week or anything. I just wanted to insert this here.
Yeah.
Just as sort of a side match in Take a Mania. You know, just sort of a sideshow here. Old
am I, Ben, get it ready. Am I going to have this overtake Draymond's take?
Are you? No. Kicked out. Okay. So not worse than Draymond.
I just wanted to hear, actually. I wanted to hear Devers say no one more time.
Oh, yeah. That's what you wanted.
No. Yeah. Okay, so now this is the one that I have a hard time. I had to listen to this next one more time, but I have a hard time thinking that it's not going to beat Draymond on this one. This is going to beat Draymond like Draymond himself is an unprotected basketball player.
Yep.
Or Draymond's going to do a kung fu chop to his neck. Yes.
All right, here's Andrew Perloff. We played this audio yesterday. Andrew Perloff, host of the Maggie and Perloff show on CBS Sports Radio. The day after Steph Curry pulled his hamstring, which was going to put him out for at least several games, Perloff was like, it's just a hamstring. All he does is shoot threes. No big deal.
You guys don't think that Curry has any chance to come back from this? I mean, we've all had little hamstring pulls. They're
the
tough.
Amount that he runs and how he has to move throughout a game, I don't
What are you talking about? He goes from the top of the three-point line on one side to the top of the three-point line on the other.
Constantly moving.
That cannot be further from
moving on offense is easy. Moving on, I mean, they'll hide him on defense. All he has to do is hit a bunch of threes.
Ask Reggie Miller and Klay Thompson, guys who do that stuff, and Ray Allen, the kind of conditioning they do. It's grueling. It's like, that is very hard. It's terribly hard on the defenders to cover those guys because they're in better shape than them.
As a former big man in high school, I'll tell you right now, the guards don't do crap. They're running 40 yards.
God, give me a break.
And Steph, running on offense doesn't count. It doesn't. Anybody can run around and get a shot.
He was like the most well-conditioned guy in the NBA because of all the stuff he did off the ball. Like, this could not be more wrong.
Well, regardless, though, I mean, I think like he can be effective in a different way because he can hit his shot. Like, he's a hamstring injury will, like, if it's John Morant and he has an injury, as we saw, that's bad. But Steph can be effective a little bit, right? Like, you still have to watch out for Steph. I don't care if he has one functional leg.
Perloff sounds like somebody who's either never watched basketball or never pulled a hamstring before.
Well, he did. He played high school basketball, Sean. And as he can tell you, that running around at guard is no big deal based on his experience of high school basketball. Whether you've played basketball in high school or just watched it since high school, or if you watched the Warriors and watched Steph Curry, or even if you've never even watched it, but you've read about Steph Curry and how many miles per game he runs and everything, this is one of the most, honestly, this is one of those baffling takes I've ever heard from an intelligent person.
Yeah, he went to Dartmouth.
Who was the male talking?
That was EJ Stewart. He's their, I don't know if he's their producer. He's sort of like a third voice on their show. I think he's their producer.
I was hoping it might have been a basketball player. I didn't know, like, because he was so emphatic about how wrong he was. Then he could have really shut him down.
Oh, like an actual NBA guy who played basketball.
No, this is the new champ. This is the new champ.
All right, there we go. All right, Andrew Perloff, champ of Tasmania. Yeah.
I almost, you said when we talked about this yesterday, like, well, maybe he was joking about the high school basketball stuff. No. He started off saying we've all had little hamstring pulls before.
Yeah, that's the tale.
And then brought up his high school experience, which wasn't even, it was like his knowledge and understanding of guards and how much they could run were based on nothing else than the guards on his high school basketball team. This is just a horrendously bad take.
Yep. All right. So Andrew Perloff, new champ of Takeomania. There you go. All right. We do that every Friday at 9:00. Always a fun segment. We'll see if anybody can take down Perloff next week. All right. Up next, the schedule comes out next Wednesday in the NFL. Looking forward to that. That's Christmas Day for schedule nerds like me. The NFL.com put out their top 10 games of the 2025 schedule. We don't know when they are yet, but we know the games that are going to, we know the opponents that are going to take place. Top 10 games in the entire league. The Texans made this list for one of their games. Is this the game that you are most looking forward to if you're a Texan fan? That is coming up next. All right, you can text the show 713-572-4610. People enjoy Takeomania. That was fun. If you missed it, you can rewind on the Odyssey app or you can listen to the Payne and Pendergast podcast, our Bad Take of the Week segment called Takeomania. We do it 9:00 on Fridays. So the NFL, Seth, put out their top 10, or NFL.com, not the NFL, their media arm, NFL.com, put out their top 10 games of the 2025 season. We don't know when these games are going to take place yet. We'll find out next Wednesday. Some of them we'll probably find out Monday and Tuesday. The NFL has already said they're going to intentionally start leaking some of these games on Monday on some of their various, with some of their various outlets. You know, one day NBC is going to be leaking a couple of them, Amazon, etc. The Texans make the list here with one of the games that they're going to be hosting this year at NRG Stadium. And I'm curious, I've got the list of their home games in front of me here. The one game for the Texans that cracks the list is number eight on the list. You know, the ones ahead of it are Kansas City and Buffalo and Philly and the Lions. A lot of the ones you would, a rematch of the Super Bowl. They all are ahead of the Texans. Eighth game that NFL.com says they're most looking forward to, the Texans hosting the Denver Broncos. That's the one game on the Texans schedule where you've got division games. They play road games against Kansas City this year. They actually host Buffalo this year. They play Baltimore this year. Now, maybe Baltimore might not be one you look forward to because last year it was 31-2 on Christmas Day. But the Denver Broncos, and that is an interesting matchup, though, the Denver Broncos, a playoff team with Bo Nix in year two.
Right.
Are you excited about that game?
Yeah, I'm excited about it. Now, we've already had the Sean Payton versus D'Amico Ryans 2 years ago.
Yes.
Because Payton was the guy that acted like he was too good for Houston. Well, at least via his mouthpiece, Colin Cowherd. Right. That's what it seemed like.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, there was a lot of scuttlebutt that the Broncos liked D'Amico Ryans, but D'Amico just flat out said, no, I want to go to Houston.
Yep.
So there's a little bit of drama there, and now both teams have done well and improved and made the playoffs. So this feels like the first real matchup. The first year that Peyton was in Denver, he was playing with an inherited quarterback that seemed like he may have hated. And
who threw
it just
three
wasn't
picks?
Quite right.
Who threw three yeah. picks in that game?
Yeah, that's right.
Russell Wilson
right.
threw three picks in that game.
Yeah, so this year it feels like the first real DeMeco versus Sean Payton matchup.
I would agree
and
with
classically,
that.
Classically, I would think it would be one that where DeMeco doesn't care or think one bit about the fact that he's going against Sean Payton. Where I feel Sean Payton seems like the kind of guy that is like extra emotionally invested in trying to
maybe.
Prove the Texans that they screwed up.
Maybe. Yeah. I think both guys landed in a perfect spot. And I, you know, there was a big part of me that thought Payton going to Denver was just a cash grab. You know, they're paying him a huge, they're paying him like $20 million a year. It's Walmart money. They're just paying
over
crazy.
10 years. Yeah.
Yeah. Like it's a crazy contract. Sean Payton's done
that's
a good
5
job.
5 years, sorry. 5 years, $18 million per year.
Okay, yeah. Is it $18 million? Okay, so there you go.
Yeah.
So Payton's done a good job there. I say that begrudgingly because he was. I found him at that juncture where he was looking at jobs to be very unlikable, at least from a Houston perspective, you know?
Well, it was partly just because Colin Coward took a shot at the Texans ownership in a way that just it made it look, you know, Coward did his classic thing where he just... He was crapping on the Texans when it was really easy to crap on the Texans yeah. and acting like they're an organization that just can't get it right and doesn't know what they're doing.
Yeah, yeah. But Payton always kind of came across as a know-it-all when he was on TV, I thought, at times. Just to rub me the wrong way. He's done a good job in Denver. He's done a really yeah. good job. I mean, they were a 500 team his first year there with Russell Wilson, like bad Russell Wilson at quarterback. And then last year they made the playoffs with Bo Nix. And I know I felt like that felt like a reach, taking Bo Nix at 12, the sixth quarterback taken in that draft class. It felt to me like they were doing what you rightfully accuse NFL teams of doing in these last several years, which is drafting guys who should be going on day two, drafting them on day yeah. one because you're reaching
well, and,
for
yeah.
quarterbacks.
And I don't accuse them of it. I guess I wouldn't use that word just because I think that I understand the strategy of that you just have to. I like to look down on the quarterbacks themselves who get drafted in the first round, especially when it's like Kenny Pickett who acts like he's owed something because he's a. It's like, no, dude, you're getting drafted in the first round because teams are so desperate for quarterbacks.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, they take a swing on quarterback. Every chance you get until you find the one you need, and it looks like it might be that guy with Bo Nix.
It might be Denver. Denver and Buffalo might be the most interesting home games on the schedule. The division opponents, like none of them are good enough this year. I may end up eating my words on that one if the Texans have a down year and they don't win the division. I expect the Texans to win the division. So I'm not. You know, I'm normal excited for the division games. Like, it's always fun when they come in here because it's a division game. They play Denver and Las Vegas at home out of the AFC West. I guess Las Vegas is a more interesting team now than they were before the month of April, you know, when they traded for Geno yeah. Smith and they drafted Ashton Jeanty.
Well, San Francisco at home, I think there's just San Francisco lost its luster. I'm not sleeping on the 49ers.
I'm not sleeping on it either. And you got the DeMeco angle with that one, you know, DeMeco yeah. teacher against student kind of thing with Kyle Shanahan.
The away games, the Texans kind of, as it looks right now on paper, and we know that this changes every year, good teams end up being bad and vice versa, but the away games are where the Texans have right now some challenges because they face the Chiefs on the road. They face the Chargers on the road. They face the Rams on the road. They face the Ravens on the road.
Yeah.
And then the Seahawks. Look, the Seahawks were a winning team last year, but a 500 caliber team last year. But Seattle's just a hard place to play.
Yep.
So it's the real juicy stuff is on the road.
No layups there on the road. The other three games on the road, you just named the five non-division games. We know that the division games, even when the teams are bad, are going to be challenges.
Yeah.
You know, they're division games. Like, so that's, you know, the Colts game last year in week one, you know, ended up being a game that came down to the very end. You know, Tennessee played them tough a couple years ago on the road when the Texans were on the road. So, boy, that is... I hadn't looked. I only had the home games written down just because of this whole Denver take here. The two LA teams, Seattle, Kansas City, and Baltimore.
Yeah. And based on Vegas win totals, the Texans have the eighth hardest schedule right now.
Oh, wow.
So, if the division stays as weak as it's been, you get a break from being in the division. But the non-divisional opponents this year, it stacks up pretty hardcore.
Yeah.
And that's, again... I just can't say it enough times. Who knows? The preseason strength of schedule always ends up looking a lot different by the end of the year.
The Tampa Bay game at home is kind of a sneaky one. You know, that's the 17th game, you know, if you will, that they're playing. That's kind of a that's kind of a sneaky one as well. Yes, it's a tricky schedule, man. I got to go through the quarterbacks at some point. But it's a tricky schedule, no doubt.
The fun thing though is how good the Texans were defensively at home last year.
Yes.
And if you think about, okay, the quarterbacks that they made look, I mean, Josh Allen had one of his worst career performances in Houston. Mm-hmm. Jared Goff threw 5 interceptions. Tua Tagovailoa turned the ball over how many times? 4 times, 5 times in that game?
A fumble and 3 interceptions, yes.
Yeah.
4 times.
So like they made really good quarterbacks look really bad. The guys that they'll face at home this year, like most notably are, okay, a newly rich Brock Purdy, perhaps. They're going to face Josh Allen yet again.
Yep.
Baker. Let's see, who are the other intriguing ones?
Baker Mayfield.
Baker Mayfield, Bo Nix.
Yep, Bo Nix.
Geno Smith is intriguing just to see exactly how he does in that new environment.
100%. Kyler Murray they're facing here.
And the last time they faced Kyler Murray at NRG Stadium, it was when Kyler Murray was coming off of his injury and didn't look – he wasn't in shape yet. He wasn't in playing shape. Right. For a guy who relies on his legs a lot and also was learning a new offense and everything, it by the fourth quarter, he kind of petered out. Yep. So you'll get a different – yeah, these are some good – the names on the jerseys, the logos might not be as intriguing for the home opponents, but the quarterbacks, there's some intrigue there.
Quarterbacks are intriguing, and it's especially intriguing to follow up on your point, Seth, that they were so good – against good quarterbacks at home last year. You know, like can they replicate that? I mean, they were historically good at home against some good quarterbacks. Like Jared Goff threw 5 interceptions in a game that they won, the Lions, but still, 5 interceptions. Josh Allen's the MVP of the league. He had the worst game of his career in his MVP season against the Texans at NRG Stadium last year and was terrible in that game.
The only guy who was immune to it was Lamar Jackson, but luckily they face him on the road. The Ravens, man, the Ravens have been the litmus test for this team in the last couple of years. It's the Ravens are the team that all of a sudden, either in the playoffs 2 years ago or at the end of the season last year, made you think, okay, they're maybe not quite as far along as I thought they were.
They played them 3 times, and none of the games, since D'Amico got here, they played them 3 times, twice in the regular season and once in the postseason, and none of the games are close. None of the games are close.
In the regular season game in week 1 2 years ago was at least, that was
close at halftime.
Everybody was new, and it was C.J. Stroud's first game ever and everything, and it wasn't. That one, you didn't expect to win that game. Yeah. You were kind of happy that they put up a fight for as long as they did.
Yeah.
But, the last 2 times they faced the Ravens, it's been a wake-up call.
Ironically, the only other quarterback to have a good game at NRG Stadium last year from a road team, they won't have to worry about this year because he won't be the starter anymore, and that's Will Levis. Will Levis had a big game against them. I mean, he threw a pick 6 in that game.
He threw for
278 yards and a couple touchdowns.
Yeah, and he got sacked like 12 times.
He got sacked 8 times. He got sacked 8 times. He threw a pick 6 to Jimmy Ward. That was the one blemish. But it was
the number of sacks in the first half alone that was
7.
7 sacks in the first half, and it was one of those weird Texans games they had last year where they did a bunch of like picking off Jared Goff 5 times, but still losing the game. All
teams,
this statistically improbable.
They had three games last year where the stats afterwards. I think the Green Bay game was the other one. No, it might have been the Jet. Whatever, they had like the Lions game and the Titans game for sure. Where the afterwards there's these tweets like previously teams that did were 342-0. They're now 342-1. Like, what are we?
Yeah. We won the box score. That's what matters.
Yes.
Yeah, just ignore the points part of the box scoring. Yeah, we really took it to them.
Oh, my God. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. We'll find out what the guys got going on In the Loop today. What's the question of the day? We will ask them about that. Rookie minicamp gets started for the Texans in about an hour. What are we looking for? What are we looking to see with this rookie class? What will we have eyes on today out at NRG Stadium? And we'll hear from Nick Caserio on what he's expecting from the rookies, and that's coming up next. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Friday. Texans rookies take the field about an hour from now over at NRG Stadium for rookie minicamp. Here was Nick Caserio, Texans GM, on with me and with Seth on Wednesday talking about the rookies arriving for minicamp.
More than anything, these couple days, these upcoming, will be more of an introduction, just kind of give them a foundation, just kind of focus on the players that we have, our drafted players, undrafted players. Don't really have too many like tryout type players, so just try to focus on our players, kind of get them up to speed. So excited to get them in the building, excited to get started. Some of these players have been on their own working. I think there was a clip or a picture, I think Mertz, Jackson, and Noel were working out together because they're all from Kansas City. They all had helmets on. It looked like they had like Hutch helmets on. They didn't have any pads, so it was like when they were growing up when you put those oversized helmets on. But they're working. They've had contact with the coaches. They've had Zoom, so they're just trying to get up to speed relative to the information from a football standpoint. So excited to get them in the building. Excited to get started.
Yeah, I saw the picture that Nick's talking about of those guys. They did. They looked like they had the helmets on that you used to wear playing in the backyard. I was like, this looks like Sean Pendergast and Kevin Pendergast trying to be Steve Grogan and Stanley Morgan in the backyard.
They weren't working. They weren't wearing like their college helmets or
no,
anything.
No, no, it didn't look like it. Yeah, it didn't look like it. It was pretty funny. It was
like they went out to Dick's and just bought some stock helmets.
I guess
you can buy I don't know where you buy football helmets.
Yeah. I would say Academy Sports and Outdoors, but yeah, possibly. So rookies get started today. And the things I'm looking for, I know Jonathan Alexander, the Chronicle, had a few things on his list that overlap with mine. My list, Seth, my four things, is Jalen Reed the total psycho that he depicted himself as on the phone call with the Texans? Yes. Is he out there screaming, let's do it? Is he the guy? He's the guy I've nominated as most likely to administer an unsanctioned hit on somebody in a practice or a training camp session.
They gotta if he gets playing time with the varsity squad, then who are the most animated guys on defense? You've got Lassiter.
Kamari for sure.
Kamari is very, very animated.
Jalen.
CJ Gardner-Johnson is very animated.
Don't say Jalen. Jalen, of course. There's seven of them. Jalen Petrie is who I'm referring to. Yeah.
Jalen Petrie, very animated. Yep. Yeah. So that's a good energy. And as far as Jalen Reed and however he, the big thing for a rookie is to be vocal before the snap. The communication is hard for rookies. They're sometimes very timid, as they should be. Know your role. But when it comes to communicating things pre-snap, getting guys to be loud and communicate loud is a big one. I don't think Reed's going to struggle in that regard.
I don't think so. No, I don't either. Yeah. Let's do it way better than, here we go. Dak Prescott, everybody. Number two, will Jaden Higgins or Jalen Noel, or maybe Seth, even your potentially adopted undrafted son, Daniel Jackson, do anything that causes some Monday hot takes with anybody? Are we going to come away with any acrobatic hot takes from rookie minicamp?
I don't know.
That's what I'm keeping my eye on. That's all I'm saying.
They're out there doing drills with no competition or what have you.
Will they do anything? Will they do anything where I will feel compelled to call into In the Loop after practice is over? Hey, guys.
You gotta see now. A couple of one-handed grabs would be good. Hopefully, if Graham Mertz is coming off an ACL, so I don't know how much he's gonna do. Maybe if he has a couple of errant balls, but somebody reels him in, that would be the most likely.
The other thing. That's number three for me. I am anxious to see if they're letting Mertz do anything. He's coming off an ACL, you know, so they taking it easy with him. I thought it was really interesting when Jonathan Alexander had an article. I forget what the gist of the article was, but one of the things he said in there was that they may have drafted Mertz with the idea that he just stays on the PUP list all year, stashes him. It's almost a redshirt year. And then, you know, hopefully you go into next year feeling maybe comfortable that he's the backup quarterback if Davis Mills ends up leaving to go get more money somewhere else. Davis Mills is going to, in all likelihood, make more than the $5 million he's making this year somewhere else next year, if I had to guess. So I'm just anxious to see if they let Mertz do anything out there today, given that he's coming off of an ACL. Or does Caserio get his moment in the sun? Remember the first David Culley training camp where Nick was out there throwing routes to guys? And people were getting agitated, like, why is Nick Caserio out there throwing routes to people at practice? He's the GM.
Right. Yeah, that's where
involved.
Has he done less of that
as
time has gone by?
Yeah.
He's been more – I felt like he was more hands-on during practice and everything. And when he was in New England, it would, as he would tell you, it would vary by year,
yeah.
Depending on where they saw fit. Where now, I think he probably, over time, you start to realize in any leadership position, okay, all right, yep, I gotta focus on not doing the manual labor stuff. I gotta be up delegating.
Hey, for the first time, are we gonna have to watch all the long snaps at practice now? Because John Weeks isn't here anymore, and there's a long snapper battle going on. Is this something we've got to keep track of?
I mean, theoretically, you could.
Yeah.
Anytime I've started in on some kind of little endeavor like that, yeah, I've realized really quickly, this is dumb.
Yeah.
Because nobody actually genuinely cares about it, and for me to get any relevant information out of it, I'm going to have to ignore all the actual interesting stuff going on.
Okay.
So, no. If we had, back in the day when we were allowed to have interns, you could have brought an intern out there and said, this is your job today. You're going to chart. You're just going to tell me who has a bunch of bad snaps
for
these centers.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you're going to feed it to me, and I'm going to somehow gamble with this information. And then I'll release it to the masses.
Okay.
That was the true value of interns.
Yes. Charting the long snapping battle at training camp. Jonathan Alexander has an interesting one on here. What numbers will the rookies wear? Higgins will either have to, he says this, Jonathan says this, Higgins will either have to negotiate with tight end Brevin Jordan, who currently wears number 9, or ask for a new number. So that I will report on. I'll come back and I'll say, hey, I was out there, Jaden Higgins, he's wearing number 10 or whatever.
You're right, yeah. I would just, I just don't want any, I don't have it in me to have this Abdul Carter type drama of rookies trying to find what number they're going to wear.
Yeah.
Listen, find yourself an apartment.
Yeah.
Just be sure that you know your way around town and then learn the playbook. Please, please, no protracted negotiations about wearing somebody's number or something. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I don't need that. And don't overspend on it either. You know, none of these guys got the big first round money coming to them. Don't be paying $50,000 to Brevin Jordan for the money, for the number.
Right.
Start a new legacy.
My rookie year, I can't remember. My first number was a really bad one. I think it was a 60-something. It was awful. It was an atrocious number for an NFL defensive lineman. But my college number became available when Paul Frays, one of the veterans, got traded away.
Okay.
And then, so I got 91 after that, but the veterans in the D-line room made me pay a penance for taking Paul Frays' number.
Oh, okay.
I had to, like, send Paul Frays care packages every couple days.
Was it easy? Okay, did you really?
Up to Green Bay. Yeah, he was in Green Bay. So I had to put together care packages.
What did you send him?
One was a Harley-type thing. I had to go get some kind of Harley T-shirt or something for him.
Okay.
Because he had a bike. And then another was I had to send him gift certificates for a restaurant, a bunch of different stuff.
Okay, okay. Any food? Any cookies?
Well, the gift certificates for a restaurant.
That was
no actual food.
No actual food. I just think back to summer camp back in the day. You know, you get a care package from mom.
I think they made me write a letter and read it in front of the.
Well, you wanted your number pretty badly, huh?
Too, about how I didn't have any. They're going to make me do something no matter what.
Yeah.
You know, whether it was jersey related or not. I think I had to write a letter telling Paul how much I appreciated him allowing me to wear his number, even though it wasn't. Yeah, he wasn't. Paul was the nicest guy in the world.
right. No, yeah, no. You were doing it to get embarrassed.
That was the worst though, because once they realized that I could write a little bit, then I had to do other. I had to write poems and stuff.
Yeah.
And I had to
What were you thinking? Actually, trying at it.
I know. I should have just gotten up there and mumbled through it.
Yeah. Although they probably respected the effort you put in on it. So you got to write sonnets.
I was a big hit at the rookie show. Our rookie skit was really good because I took on Coughlin. I did a Tom Coughlin impression, and I nailed it with a few of the things that,
Oh, you were a made guy after that amongst the vets, probably.
Yeah. I got a lot of slaps on the back. I also thought I was going
to
get cut.
I was about to say, you got a bunch of slaps on the back and Coughlin slapping you in the face.
Right. Yeah, you do it right there with the coaches watching and everything.
Right. Easier to get 91, I would imagine, when you got here to Houston, right?
There had been nobody had ever worn that.
Yeah. So you didn't have to battle anybody for that. So we got Mother's Day coming up this weekend. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. So we appreciate them. I know the question of the day from In the Loop has a Mother's Day slant to it as John Lopez and Reggie Atutula take their positions
it
here.
It sure does.
To marvel you and wow you from hours 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. How we feeling, boys? How we doing?
Well, better now. That's a hell of a compliment.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of the show.
Yeah, that's the big problem.
Reggie's under pressure. So Mother's Day this weekend.
Yeah.
Question of the day is Mother's Day related.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
What is something or some things that you did as a youth that really disappointed or made your mom mad?
Okay. All right. I have one instance. There were several things, I'm sure, if I go back and think about it. But there was one particular instance when I was in high school. It had to be my senior year in high school because I didn't start drinking until my senior year in high school.
Okay.
But I got really, really...
boy, did you start.
Well, on this particular occasion, I did. Like, I drank so much that I got sick in my bed.
Oh.
Okay? Woke up, you know, 6 a.m. or whatever on the next day. Nobody's awake yet in the house. And so I'm like, oh, man, I'm going to get in trouble. So I took my comforter and I took the sheets downstairs, put them in the washer, detergent, the whole thing. My mom gets up while I'm down there manning the washer dryer. And she's like, wow, you're up early. I'm like, yeah, just up early doing laundry.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, oh, wow, look at you. Yeah.
What a kid.
And then, I was really on the good list at that. But in my mind, I'm going, wow, this getting sick in my bed is the greatest thing to ever happen to me. Approval of my mom. The mistake I made was either going and repassing out on the couch or not manning, not staying at my post on the washer dryer. Mom goes to open up the washer when the cycle was over.
Yeah.
A, sees that my comforter and sheets are in there. Very, very strange.
Sign,
well, yeah, and as a teenager, that can be any number of things.
Yeah.
Two, there was still like residue in the wash. You know, like it was bad. Yeah. She's like, oh, like wakes me up.
Yeah.
Oh, just up early doing laundry, I see.
Yeah.
That might have been a wooden spoon day. I don't remember. You know, once you get past a certain age.
Your mom was the wooden spoon?
But not when I was a teenager, I don't think. You know, because I would just grab it out of her hand and hit her on the leg with it at that point.
But
when I was weak compared to her.
That might be the better story.
There's a t-shirt that pops up. I get all these t-shirt companies that pop up on my Instagram timeline. And one of them's like old, like 80s shirts. And one of them has a picture of a wooden spoon. And it says wooden spoon survivor on it. That's pretty funny.
Grandpa used a yardstick.
Wow.
Which, well, it sounds inhumane because you can really get some speed working on the third foot of that yardstick. It's more fragile, you know, a yardstick, so it could break if you go too hard.
So it
wasn't as bad.
How about
my
you,
mom
Steph?
Was? I think probably the time I felt the worst was when. And kids, back in the day, we had this thing called a landline. We didn't have cell phones. So when the phone would ring, anybody in the house might pick up the phone and answer the call. And it was when my mom realized that even though I had a steady girlfriend, I was accepting calls from another young lady quite frequently. And she...
Hey, I see you, Big Sam.
Yeah, I feel like I could really see like the disgust in my mom's eyes when she realized, like, oh, he's just another one of these.
He's just a man. He's just a guy.
You should have blamed sitcoms, though.
That
feels like a very sitcom situation.
Yeah.
I never did anything with Karen Wright, either. I was just...
Whoa,
Was there a tension? Yes, of course there was, but we never actually followed through on anything.
Did you tell your mom you were just helping her out with her relationship? You know, something like that?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was saying.
She's just leaning on me for advice, man.
No, you know, I'm a horrible liar, so I just felt awful about it.
Yeah. Oh my God, that's funny.
Well, the whole gist of it is they definitely deserve a day.
Oh, 100%.
Definitely. Yeah, 100%.
You know what I'm going to do? What? I'm going to go to my mom's house with a nice Mother's Day gift with my side piece. I just get some woman be like, hey, here, this will be a fun joke. I just go and pretend you're my girlfriend. Pretend you're my mistress.
Where's Brandy? Home. But here's Amber.
Here you go, Cynthia.
Yes.
Brandy calls. Just tell her that we played Pinochle, okay?
Uno.
Amber's like in a cocktail dress chewing gum.
Forgetting Seth's name.
And how much younger is she? That's also a portion of this, right?
Belichick young.
You guys,
You guys saw that, by the way.
Oh,
I'm guessing that pops up.
Yes,
on the
it will.
And by
it
the
will.
Way, Crosstalk sponsored by D&M Auto.
My God.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks, Reggie. Appreciate that. Appreciate that. Yeah, that was the breaking news we got in the middle of the show.
Yeah, yeah.
Belichick. Do you think that there's part of Belichick that is actually relieved that she's been kicked out of the football facility?
Yes.
I wonder if this wasn't, like, with all of the fallout, that if this wasn't like a underhanded way of him doing this where he was like, hey, guys, I need y'all to be bad guys.
Yeah, that's totally. That's what I mean. Yeah. That's
like, hey,
I mean.
Bubba, who is Bubba Cunningham, the AD. Just like, hey, man, can you be the bad guy for me? Like, tell us you can't come around. Like, so I can be like, hey, I would love, I want you here, baby girl, but, you know.
The problem, though, is, too, that, and I can see why his family might be concerned, they've created all these LLCs and what have you, and she's heavily involved in all these other LLCs.
She's in the book.
Yeah. It might be harder to get out. It might be harder to get out of this relationship than an actual marriage if she's that intertwined in his business affairs.
And you know that, like, I'm just judging by what we've seen of her so far. Am I judging a book by its cover? Absolutely. Right now, she's probably gone out of her way to find ways to get herself more ingrained, you know, from a legal standpoint.
Well, I mean, that was broke. The news was broken by Pablo Torre. Pablo Torre finds out.
Yep.
I was actually listening to that podcast episode. And no, you're not just judging a book by its cover. You're judging a book by a few of the chapters. Right.
Like
there's absolutely some evidence to that. And, and we'll talk about that a little bit. And for me, I think the bigger actual sports story that it's overshadowing as well.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. I like that. It's a good tease. Crosstalk, sponsored by D&M Auto Leasing, finishing the week on a high note
We are. I'm sorry that I had to deliver the news to you that Scorsese doesn't enjoy The Sopranos.
Bubba Cunningham, ticket manager at Notre Dame when I was a student.
Really?
Yeah, he's a Notre Dame grad, Bubba Cunningham.
Yeah.
Should not be named Bubba. I'm mad at people that are named Bubba that don't look like they should be Bubba, and thus I am mad at him.
Yes.
All right, Seth? We are done. Antibodies to you, my friend.
Antibodies to you, and a reminder to Bill Belichick that, hey, you're going to win some football games, you're going to lose some, but there's one thing in life that remains undefeated, Bill, and you just ran up against it.
Jordan Hudson has one. Yes, indeed. All right, we are done. We are out of time. Happy Mother's Day again to all the mothers out there, sincerely. You're listening to KLT AM, KLT FM HD2, Houston, an Odyssey sports station. Reggie Atatula, John Lopez, Figgy Fig. It is a Friday on In the Loop, and they start now.
You damn Skippy, we start now. Once more, an appreciation to D&M Auto Leasing for the opportunity to chat with those fine fellas of Payne and Pendergast. Actually, you're headed out to rookie minicamp, aren't you?
I am.
All right, very good.
If anything dramatic happens out there, do you want me to call?
Yes. Oh, without, that was the whole point of me asking. Call in immediately. We will break into whatever we're talking about.
Okay, sounds good.
Yep. So you can expect, hopefully, to hear from Sean Pendergast once more today.
I'll have some hot David Johnson level take.
Oh, yeah. That's what the
body
people
types.
Want.
Yeah.
That's what the people need, in fact.